Introducing Coco Gauff's signature shoe, more than just a tennis shoe. It's a fusion of 90s-inspired style and cutting-edge performance technology. With its sleek mid-cut silhouette, it's designed to enhance speed and power on the court. The multi-piece upper construction delivers high-energy return for players of all levels. Whether you're a seasoned pro or just starting out, the Coco CG1 empowers you to dominate the game. Learn more and purchase the Coco CG1 at NewBalance.com.
The tennis world is down under for the first major of 2023. And today, the quarterfinals begin with plenty of the usual suspects and some new breakout stars, all looking to make history. Call it a comeback. Andre Rublev stormed back from match point down to end the team's runa and reach the quarterfinals. Plus, 20-year-old sensation Ben Shelton and fellow American Tommy Paul took care of business, giving the U.S. a first-time trio in the final eight. And in today's edition of Unstrung, John Wertheim marvels at how the tennis flame continues to burn inside Venus Williams. All those stories and much more over the next hour on this Australian Open edition of Tennis Channel Live. The quarterfinals are set in Melbourne, and halfway across the world, nearly half of the men's final eight represent the United States. Three future stars all earning their stripes in Australia. Welcome to TC Live, our pregame show to get you ready for all the action every day down under. The featured matches today as the quarterfinals get underway. Defending champ at Wimbledon, Elena Rybakina takes on Yelena Ostapenko, followed by American Seb Korda and Corinne Khachanov. Then in the night session, it is the lone American woman left in singles. Jessie Pegula taking on Victoria Azarenka, followed by Stefanos Tsitsipas and Yuri Lehechka. There's Hollywood herself. Vika Azarenka has won 46 in a matches here. That's two that came in quarterfinals that went on to titles here. She says she adores Jess Pegula. Well, we'll see what happens today. As for Seb Korda, back on Rod Laver after a fifth set match tiebreak in the fourth round, facing Corinne Khachanov tonight. Just cool, calm, collected, rolling in. As we welcome you back into our studios here in Santa Monica, California, Steve Weissman, the Hall of Famer Lindsay Davenport from 60 Minutes and Sports Illustrated, John Wertheim, and former pro, our global correspondent, Prakash Worldwide Amitrage himself. How about this? First time since 2003, American men into the quarterfinals at the Australian Open. They're not the folks you may have picked either. We'll get into all of that. But first, P, what was your biggest thing that stood out yesterday?
Well, I got to go back 12 months. And 12 months ago, Novak Djokovic went through the worst time of his life, deportation from Australia. And Alex de Minaur said, you know what? I'm ready for this circus to be over, because it was occupying all the media and so forth. And let me tell you something. Novak Djokovic is no clown, and that brother does not forget. Five games he gave Alex de Minaur yesterday. And scarier than that, he said, I didn't feel a thing with my hamstring. Guy's feeling unbelievable, and a fully healthy Novak Djokovic giving away five games and just doing exactly what he wanted. Scary stuff for the rest of the draw.
I thought I was going to be captivated by the American men's matches. We had Shelton that was playing J.J. Wolf. We also had Tommy Paul that was going to be in action. I did not think it was going to be Andre Rublev and Holger Rune who was going to leave me captivated watching tennis yesterday. That match was so up and down, so many twists and turns. It was like crash TV. You could not turn it off. It was a crazy match and one that got me watching the whole time. Couldn't believe what ended up happening at the end. See, I'm not going to give my match result away. Like you gave with Novak. I'm going to just leave it like that as a little tease to keep watching.
That's good.
Well done, Liz.
Television commentator.
I got a tease, excited, you know?
While you were captivated by a Dane and a Russian, perhaps a little more patriotically, I was watching the American, as Steve, as you say, three Americans in the final eight. It's not just the number, it's the diversity of style, it's the diversity of path. Only one of them, Seb Korda, is seated. They all play different games. This was a really, really strong tournament for American tennis, and it ain't done.
It is not, and he didn't give away the result.
Yeah, that was
on purpose. I didn't
two in one match.
Little lesson there.
Well, we're going to give away Djokovic now, because that's our first highlight coming up. Novak Djokovic, the only remaining major champ on the men's side. He won this event nine times. Last coming a couple years ago, as he wasn't allowed to compete, as Prakash said, in 2022. In fact, He hasn't lost at the Aussie Open in 5 years. He could have a trophy room at his house just dedicated to those shiny works of art. Looking to win his 25th straight match here, facing the Aussie Alex De Minaur. Said it's been a roller coaster in his matches with that hamstring injury, Prakash, but this was more of a teacup ride.
Certainly was. He was able to do everything he wanted from both sides. I mean, you saw that forehand winner up the line. Here it's the backhand winner up the line. And he was just never under pressure the whole time. Even when you got into some extended rallies here, from well behind the baseline, he's able to just generate so much power that De Minaur is not able to control it in. Had a comfortable time in that first set. Two games, gives away a breadstick in the second set, and it's just rolling through. I mean, that he's taking a serve inside the baseline, ripping it virtually up the middle of the court for a winner. Served well. 2-1-2. Man looks as serious as it gets.
Never faced a break point. Won nearly half his return points. Now just 3 wins away from that 22nd major title.
I didn't feel anything today. So today was great. I thank my medical team, my physio. I thank God. Anybody that really helped me. And I keep on going. Obviously, I don't want to celebrate too early. I'm still in the tournament. I was feeling very good in the first match. Second match, not so great. So I know that things can change really quickly. And, you know, I don't take anything for granted. I'm really pleased with the way I've played, with the way I moved today, with the way I hit the ball. So let's keep it going.
Great to hear that from Novak, that he didn't feel the injury at all, Lindsay. When we talk about the GOATs, we always say they get better as the tournament progresses. How would you assess Djokovic's level right now?
It was perfect. And I think almost a much-needed win to send that message to the locker room. You know, what you don't want to do when you're expected to win and one of those top players is give the locker room hope. Give these players any more reason to believe they can beat you. Maybe that was there after a couple of rounds that he played, but he really shut that door. It's like, nope, I'm back. And he was so emphatic with, nope, didn't feel my leg at all. So let's just bring on good old hardcore tennis. He knows he's the best hardcore player, especially if he's healthy. He's played a match like he's the favorite, and we hadn't seen that yet from Novak.
I don't want to celebrate too early, he said. So there's going to be celebration. It's just a question of timing. There were a couple of tells that he really thinks he's the favorite now, as well he should, certainly statistically. It's funny, we've seen Novak, he's motivated by history and by records and sometimes by proving doubters wrong. I don't know if I've seen a match like that in a while. You referenced it to start the show where there was something personal. And I think there definitely was. And he even made reference to that, sort of saying, you know, listen, I respect De Minaur the way I do any other opponent, but I do remember what he said about me. I think that was a new look for Novak. And if surrendering 5 games is the, if that's the outcome, maybe you ought to do that more often.
He said it in his interview with Jim after, and he said it a couple times in interviews last year as well. He expects to be playing for quite a bit more time. I don't think he looks like he's at the towards the end of his career. It's a very different situation than where we look at Rafa right now. So a lot of new young players coming out there. He still wants to get out there and, you know, establish himself, saying, listen, I'm still the guy you guys should be scared of. And he has no things of quitting anytime soon.
Can we just dwell on this for like 30 seconds? I mean, you read the stats and he's 12 years older than De Minaur, who's a mid-career player, who's not exactly a young kid himself. And I think, you know, this guy's going to be 36 years old in the spring, and we don't talk about his age at all. That is a complete credit to the way he runs his career.
That match reinstated his aura. Yeah. It's like, when I step on this court,
35 and a half.
You better be scared. Yeah. Only guy in the Open era with 2 winning streaks of 25 matches in a row at the Australian Open. He's won 38 in a row in that country overall. Holger Rune, last teenager left on the men's side. John taking on Andre Rublev. The winner of this one gets Novak Djokovic.
This is the first match of this tournament between two players in the top 10, a repeat of a match played in Paris in the fall that Rune won. And this was a strange one. We can talk about match stats here, but really this is just a couple of clutch moments. We go to a fifth set, and Rune was up 5-2. He's up 5-3 here. He's a game away from what would probably be the biggest win of his career, certainly at a major. And Rublev, to his credit, didn't go away. We talked yesterday about this sort of the generational tension and friction here, and that played out in this match. That was a match point on Rublev's serves for Rune. Now Rune's up 5-love for a guy that's got a lot of self-confidence. He sure let a lot of
opportunity squander, putting the ruined room. And Rublev was terrific when he had to be. Again, down 5-love in this first to 10 super breaker. This is how you get your 58th winner of the match. Watch this for a room. This was to stay in the match and drills that beautiful backhand power up to 3 hours and 36 minutes in, but this is match point for Rublev. This is his 58th error. He'll take it. And on to the quarters and a date with Djokovic.
Yeah, so this is the first time he's ever won a match like this. A seventh Grand Slam quarterfinal for Rublev. Still looking for his first trip to the Final Four. Let's take a look at this comeback for the Russian. Down 4-1, down 5-2, saved two match points. Down 5-love in the match tiebreak. Was able to come back and make his way into the final eight. Can still barely believe it.
I was thinking that for sure it's over, but at least I was telling to myself, like, at least not like in the Roland Garros when I completely give up, like, just at least try to play better than there. So, and then from 7-2 I played some good rallies. I catch where he was serving and I return well. And I serve also well, I make aces. So, and yeah, the last point, I don't know, it was never happened to me in my life, and that was the luckiest probably moment. Cannot be better moment than this.
Love that. Breaks it down really well. On the women's side, clash of two players on seven match winning streaks. Arina Sabalenka, Belinda Bencic, Lindsay. Sabalenka hasn't dropped a set yet this year.
Yeah, and that was the one break to serve Belinda Bencic would get in the match. Had a 4-2 lead in the first set, and then Philly was all over. Sabalenka started to dial it back a little bit more, and there were some concerns about the power of Sabalenka and how would Bencic handle that. Well, she didn't handle it well. It was very tough for her to get a clean strike on any of the shots, and it was all Sabalenka when she is serving this well, and she's also hitting her ground strokes this heavy. It is going to be tough for anyone to beat her. Combine that with this new mindset, much more focused, not getting upset. I think we're looking at a Grand Slam trophy here pretty soon for Sabalenka.
Strong words, and it certainly does look that way. 32 winners, more than double the amount of Bencic. Serving well, embracing that calm on court. First quarterfinal in Melbourne for Arina Sabalenka. Well, Donna Vekic has found a resurgence this week with our Pam Shriver in her corner, playing 17-year-old Linda Fruvratova, who could be the youngest Aussie Open quarterfinalist in 25 years.
And this was all Vekic in the first set, really just overpowered Fruvratova. But Fruvratova started to play better in the second set, started to read the shots of Vekic a little bit more. Vekic started to get tired also in the second set. It was a much hotter day in Melbourne, and it was starting to affect Vekic. And Fruvratova, with all the shots, enjoying this time here in Melbourne. Vekic, though, went off court after losing the second set and actually got a warning for delay of game. She took so long, but she was able to get it back in the third set. Big weakness of the Czechs game was that second serve. Only won about 30% of her second serve points. Vekic got aggressive again at the end, and what a win it was for Donna.
Great week for Fruvratova, but for Donna Vekic, first major quarterfinal since 2019. You can see how much it means to her. Look forward to breaking down her match against Sabalenka tomorrow right here on TC Live at 5 p.m. Eastern. Live tennis starts on ESPN2 at 9 o'clock Eastern. On court coverage, wake up a little earlier, 6 a.m. Eastern, with Brett Haber and Paul Anacone here on Tennis Channel. Still ahead, an All-American College Tennis Showdown that went the distance. All the highlights from Ben Shelton and J.J. Wolf next.
TC Live at the Australian Open is brought to you in part by Tennis Express. We deliver tennis right to your front door. Order today, ships today. And by Bet365, the world's favorite sports book.
Welcome back to TC Live. Another gorgeous day in Melbourne Park. The quarterfinals starting today at the top of the hour. Can't wait for that. As we bring you back into our studio, Steve Weissman with you. In 1966, the Beach Boys released Good Vibrations, Batman debuted on TV, and Arthur Ashe made his first major final. Well, 57 years later, a new tennis superhero is bringing the good vibes to Melbourne. Ben Shelton is the first NCAA singles champ to make the following year's Aussie Open quarterfinal since the legendary Ashe himself. For more stories like that, make tennis.com your online information source throughout the tournament and the entire 2023 season. Right now, Steve Tignor has your 3-to-see on day 9 of the Australian Open, and Zachary Cohen has your tips in Betting Central. Now time for the daily forecast with Fox Weather.
I'm Fox Weather's Jason Fraser, and here is today's Australian Open forecast. We're looking at the weather over in Melbourne, Australia. Plenty of sunshine for our tennis pros with highs in the low 80s. You can download the Fox Weather app or stream Fox Weather from your favorite connected TV device.
Thanks, Jason. Still to come, Tommy Paul playing the biggest match of his career and looking to set up an All-American quarterfinal.
Introducing Coco Gauff's signature shoe, more than just a tennis shoe. It's a fusion of 90s-inspired style and cutting-edge performance technology. With its sleek mid-cut silhouette, it's designed to enhance speed and power on the court. The multi-piece upper construction delivers high-energy return for players of all levels. Whether you're a seasoned pro or just starting out, the Coco CG1 empowers you to dominate the game. Learn more and purchase the Coco CG1 at newbalance.com.
Back on TC Live, day 9 of the Australian Open. That means the beginning of the quarterfinals. Big day in Melbourne. The American party continues down under. Tommy Paul looking to make his first major quarterfinal, taking on Roberto Bautista Agut, Prakash.
Only beaten him one time in 4 meetings, but that was their only meeting last year, 4-4 in Paris, and kept up that momentum to start things. Really just looks a bit more comfortable in his game, getting a little bit more juice on that forehand, moving around the court really well, sneaks out a second break here, really looks keyed in, takes that first set 6-2. You can tell that he's just making better decisions out there, thinking a little bit more on the court, picking bigger targets, and really waiting for his opportunity to go after the ball. Drops that second set, 6-4 to Agut, but keeps the pressure right back on in that third set. I love the way he's turning on that forehand side. You can't really tell where he's going to hit it, and he's just not trying to pull the trigger too early. Can't say that enough. Able to get the break here, 5-all in this fourth set. And again, wearing Bautista Agut down a little bit. A bunch more errors than you're used to seeing from Bautista Agut. He has put in a lot of miles in this event. And at the end, a little DJ Khaled. Sorry, not sorry, Weissman.
Another one. We saw one earlier in the show as well. Rublev on a match point. Tommy Paul just going about his business. How about 11 straight wins against Spanish opponents? 58 winners to just 35 for RBA. What stands out to you, Pete?
Well, look at that. Plus 12 in a four-set match against Roberto Bautista Agut. You are making really good decisions there. 58 winners, that's a ton against a guy who gets a ton of balls back and able to do that while you keep your unforced errors down to 46. Good stuff.
Meantime, Gators and Buckeyes with their eyes on this one. Ben Shelton, J.J. Wolf doing battle for a spot in the final eight, Lindsay.
We had no idea what to expect in this match. Such a huge opportunity for both, but we saw the shot making from Shelton and the athleticism. J.J. Wolf in this first set breaker, just a little bit too solid for Ben Shelton. I'm not sure what was going to happen in this. A lot of pressure on both of them. And then Wolf gets the first set. You think, okay, he's going to relax a little bit. But a great comeback from Shelton. We go to the four-set breaker, and this was the tiebreak where things turned around for Ben Shelton. He served fantastic through this match. Didn't play the tiebreaks great until that fourth set. Sends it to a fifth. He's got the stadium rocking. He kept his energy up, and he was able to get a break early in the fifth set and then really cruise from there.
64 winners in the match for Ben Shelton. You talk about how well he served. He only faced 2 break points this entire match, saved both of them. You see the energy, the atmosphere on John Cain Arena is next level. And they were getting up for the former Gator. First trip outside the U.S. continues for another day. Ben Shelton into the quarterfinals.
Well, yeah, it was definitely a grueling match. There was a lot of swings throughout the match. It was going to him and then me and then him and then me. and I really focused on in the fifth set, just being energetic, trusting my fitness, and just hustling, being courageous, and I thought I did a really good job of competing at the highest level in the fifth set.
All right, taking a look at our final eight on the men's side. Korda there taking on Khachanov today, Tsitsipas, Lehechka, and then we've got the all-American. We're guaranteed a U.S. man into the semifinals. Ben Shelton taking on Tommy Paul. What a run for Ben Shelton. This time last year, 600 in the world, about. Now he's 43 in the live rankings. That's wild.
As college tennis tends to accelerate. No, I mean, this has gone very quickly from sort of a cute story, keep an eye on this kid, to, whoa, how far can he go now? He's talked about this very openly. He's been great in his press conferences and has found this real sweet spot between this is amazing, I don't take this for granted, and at the same time, he's conceding nothing. And he's learning about his body, he's learning about his durability, best of five sets against, you know, against flying J.J. Wolf. That's a really nice performance to get through. He's only three matches from winning a title, and this has sort of gone very quickly to, hey, NCAA champion making waves, to, wait a second, this guy's in the final eight with a real chance at the final four. It's a great story.
Incredible. You were saying, Prakash, this guy could have the best forehand in tennis in a year or two?
I certainly think so. I mean, look, right now it's so versatile. Like, I mean, on the run, he's able to get so much juice on it. He's able to find different angles. And sometimes even when he's just behind the baseline, he just muscles it and is still able to create winners from over there. He's a fun guy to watch. When he continues to get a little bit more physical and soak into that body, serve's going to get bigger, forehand's going to get bigger, he's already comfortable at the net. Upside is tremendous. And he's a lefty. How annoying are lefties? You know?
I think you're right. I mean, his weapons are already off the charts. I mean, we talked about the serve and the forehand. What I like is that then there's not a big hole either. We've seen some players come up that are developed, have this one big weapon, but then you think, oh, okay, if I could get it to maybe their backhand side. His backhand is rock solid. So the weapon is only as good as if you don't have a weakness that brings it down. Doesn't have that in his game. He obviously has that energy and that electricity. And that thing you can't teach, which is in a big moment, you are going for it, you embrace the crowd. How do you get a crowd in a foreign country to turn and become behind you and support you like you're playing in Gainesville? Very few people could ever kind of figure that out. He's figured it out. He has that quality you just can't teach.
You said it yesterday, and I will give you your props. College tennis. I mean, we talk about all the virtues of playing for college and the extra year and the training. What about the fact that you learn how to channel this energy and alchemize it and sort of stay within yourself but use a crowd? He played that match yesterday like it was a college match. The result speaks for itself.
He's a transcendent personality. Yeah. I mean, he can literally put tennis on another level. He keeps this up. And to add to the backhand, he's got no weaknesses on the volleys either.
Exactly.
He's literally it's a five-tool tennis player. He's got it all.
Playing best of five and durability, too.
Yeah. A young player, you know, oh, how's he going to be in the fifth? No, he's just fine. Mm-hmm. Energetic, not getting tired, still going after
shots. That was the strongest set.
Yep.
That was the strongest set yesterday.
Right. Impressive. We'll break down that match against Tommy Paul tomorrow. Let's talk about some of the matches coming up today. Corinne Khachanov taking on another American in Seb Korda. Leads the head-to-head, 2-1. Lost the one time they played in a major, but won the two after that. What do you expect to see?
I think since that time, even though Khachanov didn't make the semis at the Open, Korda has made bigger strides, I think, than Khachanov. But it's a toss-up between these two. All round, I like Sebi's game a little bit more. Khachanov really relies on that big serve, that big forehand. Backhand is rock solid. I love how much Sebi's coming to the net. He's attacking the net a ton. I think that could be the difference. If he can continue to attack the net, put a little pressure on Khachanov, not let him be the one being the aggressor, I think he's got a great shot.
No shade on Khachanov. He's a very nice player. But, boy, if you're Sebi Korda, you don't mind that as your match to get into your first major semi.
Yeah, and I think for Khachanov, too, I mean, he has played maybe some of his best tennis, and we saw that great run in New York. Not easy to then back that up. He also knows this is a heck of an opportunity for him. He went through Nishioka so comfortably. Don't forget, Korda had a very, not only physical, but also emotional battle to win in that tiebreak in the fifth. As much as I want to see Korda win, I'm a little bit wary of Khachanov, his game, and just where he's at in his career and wanting to keep taking steps.
It's a pick 'em for me. I don't know. That's a tough one to call. Stefano Tsitsipas taking on Yuri Lehechka before this tournament. Lehechka literally had not won a match at a major. Steph has never lost a quarterfinal at a major. No. Lindsay, what challenges can the Czech present?
Well, He's obviously played great. But one thing that Leheshka's done so well, he's been moving around the baseline and able to go from defense to offense with one shot, just slapping winners when he's on the run. He's got a lot of power. I don't know. Tsitsipas presents different challenges, though, for players. He can serve and volley. Yeah. He can stay back. He can decide to back up on returns. We've seen him chip charge. And I think that throws a lot of players off their game. I also think he's gone through this draw pretty quietly. Yes, we talk about him a little bit, but other players have been the headlines. He has not. I think he likes that. He has the crowd support. Be shocked if he didn't get through this.
We talk sometimes about mental accounting and players anticipating certain scenarios. You know, you're Tsitsipas, you win this five-set match. I've got Felix. Oh, no, it's not Felix. It's Leheshka, someone I barely know who had not won a Grand Slam match coming in here. I mean, on the one hand, you're Tsitsipas. I couldn't have lined up better. A lot more variables, though, when you've got such a wild card opponent like this.
I think Steph is at the point where he has enough experience and been through this enough where he is going to come out, play one of his better matches, and get through this quite comfortably. But as Martina pointed out earlier this week, Leheshka is pretty proficient at net, and no one has really put Steph in a position where he has to pass all day off that one-handed backhand side. No one really has that game. If Leheshka can maybe get a little out of his comfort zone, do that a bit more, that's going to be his best shot. But again, as you said, John, hasn't won a match in a Grand Slam leading up to this. This is a great result. Steph, meanwhile, is looking for that trophy.
Yeah, Leheshka's got nothing to lose. He actually took a set off of Tsitsipas in Rotterdam last year. Steph came back to win that one in three. Looking forward to both of those matches. Looking forward to breaking down some more here on TC Live. But first, despite being twice the age of the world number one, Venus Williams continues to win. We go unstrung on the living legend.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome back. For the past 30 years, Venus Williams has been playing professional tennis. She beat Katie Bolyanets earlier this year in Auckland, a player who hadn't been born when Venus won her first major title. John Wertheim reports on the most decorated pro left on tour.
It was the last of the four majors she played for the first time. Though fresh from reaching the U.S. Open final, she made a right turn when she boarded the plane for Melbourne. Do you know how much business class tickets cost? Her mother asked, dumbfounded. Venus Williams, still a teenager, reached the Australian Open quarterfinals that year. That was 24 years ago, nearly a quarter century removed from today. Somehow, Venus, age 42, again, age 42, is still at it. She still finds nourishment playing tennis, and so on she goes. But why is she still out there, entering tournaments against players, including the current number one, who are literally half her age? She has her reasons, she has her goals, and as long as that's the case, how do you not marvel? With Serena's absence, Venus becomes the active WTA player with the most major singles titles. Seven. Yes, her last big prize may have come 15 seasons ago. But by carrying out her duties in her own way, on her own timetable, for her own reasons, you can make the case that she has never stopped winning.
Look at this career. Seven-time Grand Slam champion. Never lost a doubles major final with sister Serena. One title away from 50 in her career. More than 800 match wins. Olympic gold. Three-time gold medalist in women's doubles. All the money that she has made. Queen V, tennis royalty indeed. Prakash, you know her quite well. What do you think keeps her going?
You know, it's something as simple as how much she actually loves the game. I mean, whether it's playing doubles, whether it's a smaller event, whether it's a Grand Slam,
She genuinely just loves tennis. And I don't know actually how many players in the top 100, 200 who may have fallen in love with it to start, but how long that stays. Right. You know, it fades at some point. Sometimes you take it for granted that you get to do this. That's never been the case with Venus. And, you know, look, there are so many things to be so proud of when you look back at Venus's career, you know, her fight for equal prize money at Wimbledon and so forth. But, you know, I look back and I don't think there's one moment where she's not proud of the way she behaved on a court. You know, she carried herself so marvelously all the way through. She's been an inspiration to boys and girls all the way, all around the world. And she's just did it with so much dignity. I think as long as she wants to play, we should just cherish every single moment and enjoy it.
Yeah, well said. What do you think we should expect from her this year? We saw her get a win against Katie Valinuts in that tournament in Auckland.
Yeah, I think most people were kind of putting her on that retirement list when her sister retired at the U.S. Open. And it was nice to see her start there. We had such great hopes. Oh, she's going to play in the Australian Open. We're not actually sure what happened in Auckland. Obviously, it rained a ton. These matches went indoors. She didn't say what injury made her withdraw then from the Australian Open. It is very rare that a player that's won in the world and has won all those majors is willing to still be around when most likely they probably aren't going to win another major. Mm. You know, most of that's kind of when the players that are used to winning are like, yeah, I'm out. Like, right. I've been there. And as Prakash is saying, she loves the sport so much more. It's not really about the wins. It's not about, oh, I'm going to win Wimbledon again. I would think that she wants to play. She's going to play where she wants to play. And maybe that is just the majors, and maybe that's just the tournaments in the States. I mean, we don't know. She doesn't let us in all that much. But I think we're definitely going to see her again. But imagine she's going to commit to all the way through the U.S. Open.
Yeah, and I don't see a tournament, John, if she wants to get in, not giving her a wild card.
Yeah, I think she's earned her right to play wherever she wants, and I think tournaments will comply with that. I mean, it's just you just think about the math here. I mean, her last major was almost 15 years ago. And when she was starting out, if you said, hey, listen, this is going to be a trailblazer, you'd say, yeah, I could see that. You said, this is going to be someone who ushers in power tennis. Yeah, I could see that. This is someone who's going to stand for longevity, who's still going to be playing 25 years from now. You'd say, come on. It's totally on brand that Venus would outlive Serena in tennis terms. I mean, nothing is done by conventional thinking, by conventional timetables. It's kind of wild that she's going to be 43 years old and we're talking about her as an active player. But, like, I mean, why not? I mean, if she finds fulfillment, great. Play as long as you want.
She loves this. I have a friend who actually was at a karaoke bar in Florida and went up to her and was like, oh, plays tennis, played college tennis. Like, you're Venus Williams. You want to hit? And Venus was like, yeah, come here tomorrow morning. Well, they hit. She really? Just loves tennis.
Well, I know we're all talking about her tennis, but if anyone's lucky enough to see her karaoke game, that might be more impressive than all those Wimbledon titles.
I'm talk about it.
I'm not messing around.
Serena would travel with the karaoke
it's a serious, machine. It's a serious situation.
How do we get on the karaoke?
How do you stand up there?
Oh, I go up for the comedic relief. You know, we let Venus and Serena and Isha do all the serious numbers. And when everyone wants a good laugh, they put me up to sing. And then, you know, everyone has a good laugh.
But 42 years old and seven majors is really tremendous. No, just trying to steer things back.
What's your biggest memory from competing against her?
Oh, my gosh. Played her so many times. You know, my best memories was actually getting to play on some of the Fed Cup teams, as it was called back then, and Olympic teams, because you didn't really get a chance to get to know them. And especially in the beginning, when both Venus and Serena came up, they really stuck together. I think as they started to get older, they started to really kind of take control of the locker room and really become the leaders. But in the beginning, they really kept to themselves. And all of a sudden, we'd find ourselves at a week-long event practicing together with Billie Jean as captain and Monica and, you know, all these other great players. Then you got a chance to actually get to know them, you know, as teenagers. And they were always laughing, always making jokes with each other. It was actually kind of like nice to then not be pitted against them always, you know, playing for big titles or playing at the end of tournaments, to actually be working together as a team. And we had a Fed Cup tie just the week after Serena won the U.S. Open. And it was a major surprise at that time that Serena won a major first. You know, everyone expected it would be Venus. And it was a lot of media and a lot of emotions, I think, on every which side for the team. And Billie Jean did an unbelievable job that whole week of kind of keeping this all together, helping Venus. We're also all celebrating Serena. Those are my favorite memories of both Venus and Serena, but especially Venus. Right.
I love this component of the whole Williams story, that it started out as this sort of this monolith and this Williams, and fans wouldn't know who to root for. And then in turn, they really developed distinct personalities. They stayed as close as ever. They're inextricably bound. But I think it's great that Venus did not retire when Serena did, as a lot of people suspected. It must be very weird for her to be out there without Serena as the companion, the practice partner, sometimes the doubles partner. But I think that's kind of part of a bigger piece of this story, that they started out as sort of us against the world, and then they became two. No one confuses Venus with Serena anymore, and it's a fitting that they didn't go out together.
Lindsay, you talk about, you know, how close they are together. I've been fortunate enough to spend a lot of time with the family. And for me, the most special thing is how close-knit everyone in the family is. And I think that's actually been the largest reason for their success. Look, they came on at a time which it wasn't always easy for all the different situations they were in tennis. And to be able to weather that and then still go on to create the kind of history that they did, you can't really do that unless your code, you know, what's your beliefs that you believe in so emphatically are so strong within you. And so much of that comes from the family ties that they have. And it's one of the most beautiful things to see. And I think as they've gotten older as well, you know, everyone's gotten a chance to really get in and see that as they've shared it a bit more.
Right.
It's a pretty special thing.
All four sisters. You never had a sense of drama or friction
Absolutely.
Or rivalry.
Absolutely.
It was always start to finish, always this unit.
Yeah, absolutely. And she showed us more of that on social media these days and also with the videos with coaching. And so it's exciting to see. If she's happy playing, we should all be so grateful to witness one of the all-time greats for as long as she wants to play tennis. More still to come here on TC Live. We've got our John Wertheim stat of the day. You don't want to miss Bet365's match preview of the day, some props as well. And it's a new segment, Guaranteed Winners. Who are they picking? But first, Caroline Garcia running into some turbulence in her quest to reach the Aussie Open quarterfinals as an unlikely Polish player is the last one remaining. Back on TC Live, time for some dubs. Coco Gauff, Jessie Pegula, the two seeds in doubles. Jessie says she likes playing doubles instead of a regular practice on her off days. Coco says staying to play doubles helps her get over that singles loss. All good things continue, Prakash.
Great example there of why doubles is helping your singles game. That point right there, Coco smacking that forehand, coming in, finishing off with a volley. Jessie Pegula getting to work on her return here as well. They were down a break early, managed to come back 5-4 ahead with a set point here. Jessie with some nice hands there. Put her opponent at the net. Coco finding the middle. No, I can't let that ball go up the middle. Always the place you got to cover in doubles. Second set action, a little bit more straightforward here. Some good returning from Pegula and Gauff. Exactly the kind of day you'd want if you're Jessie Pegula and you're in between singles matches. Nice, relaxed, not too strenuous. And a little lighthearted fun to close things out as well.
Pegula still alive to win singles and doubles would be the first since Barbora Krejcikova, Roland Garros. So taking a look, Gauff Pegula get the 11 seeds next, former UCLA star. Anna Shibahara in this section as well. Pegula back to singles. Former USC star Juliana Olmos and Gabby Dabrowski taking on Anna Kalinskaya and Caroline Dullahide today on Margaret Court Arena. Strange setup there. All right, former world number one Karolina Pliskova hasn't dropped a set, looking to reach back-to-back major quarterfinals facing Zhang Shui, who is 7-0 against her. John.
Stage of form. Yeah. Look at that. Pliskova actually the higher seed in this one. This is someone who reached a Wimbledon final 18 months ago, two U.S. Open finals. She's no longer highest player. Used to be number one. She's no longer close to that in the rankings, but her major results have been great. Look at this. Very nice, easy first set. Dropped a six-love cantaloupe and then came back in the second. More good stuff. She had 12 aces in just 8 service games. Very clean tennis for Pliskova. Should we be talking about her more or now north of age 30 has the window shut? Regardless, she's been terrific here in Australia. Again, this is the fourth time in 18 months she's played deep into a major. So never mind her 30th seeding, which is rather modest. She looked terrific, and onward she rolls.
33 winners, 11th career Grand Slam quarterfinal for Karolina Pliskova. Still looking for that first major title. Lindsay, Caroline Garcia hoping to make the Final Eight for the first time in Melbourne, playing Magda Linette, who had never been past the third round of a major before this year.
Well, and Steve, she started this match like a favorite to win the title, and that was about the only time of the match she played like a favorite for the title. Up 3-love, 2 breaks, and then let it kind of go away. And again, she also is getting really frustrated, but she wasn't making the changes necessary. She's a very aggressive player, but when the errors are coming, sometimes you got to dial it back, and Garcia just refused to do that. Magda Linette, very solid player. She's been around for a long time, known to maybe get a little bit nervous on the big occasions. Didn't have to worry about that today because Garcia just kept missing shots on big points. And Linette, with the biggest win of her career, able to get through. And Garcia, this one has got to hurt. She was a favorite to win this title and went out pretty tamely.
How about the last remaining Polish player is not Iga Świątek or Hubie Hurkacz. It's Magda Linette. Wow. Into the quarterfinals. Impressive stuff. So, looking at the final eight on the women's side, Lindsay, some surprises.
Crazy, but I feel like we say that over most women's Grand Slam draws now. Always kind of you get these players you're not expecting. Really impressed with Pliskova. It's not easy to have your rankings start to fall. You have injuries. You're getting older. Her twin sister had a baby. You start thinking about, okay, maybe I'm done. Nice effort, nice work she put in the preseason to give herself a chance at this Australian Open.
Absolutely. Working with Sasha Bain right now, doing a fantastic job getting her back into the quarterfinals in Australia. The winners today are onto the semifinals, so let's break down those matches. Starting with the American, Jessie Pegula taking on Victoria Azarenka, our Tennis Express head-to-head, two apiece. Pegula won their last match, semifinals of Guadalajara last year, but she's never won a Grand Slam quarterfinal, Lindsay. 0-4 in the quarters. Make the case for Pegula to win this one.
Oh, it's changing today.
Okay.
I think her expectations, I think her belief in herself, and I think her game as well, all of those have risen pretty drastically in the last 6 to 12 months. This is a player who believes she should be there now. This is a player that's worked very hard to get her ranking up to 3. I think Pegula, with no big weaknesses, and she's just been a rock mentally, I think she gets through.
And let's not forget, this is just, as you said, Lindsay, this is a different Jessie Pegula who's coming in today, aside from those previous quarterfinals that she's had. And if you just go down the X's, as John does, with form, I just think Jessie's looking better in each section than Vika. Vika struggled a little bit more to get here. Jessie's looked pretty relaxed most of the way through.
She is a complete realist. Some players sort of tell themselves these stories. There's a bit of delusion. She knows exactly what the deal is. She knows she's the highest remaining seed. She knows she's playing well. She's still in the doubles. She ought to win this. And I think this is a big opportunity. I think she's going to seize it.
All right. Everybody picking Pegula here. The guaranteed locks are coming up later on the show. You don't want to miss.
Oh, boy.
You put the house on because they're locking it in. Just like the United Cup team did. Jessie Pegula still part of Team Lock.
Only one left.
Only one left from Team Lock. Jagger Leach too, though. Lindsay, John, Prakash, Steve, back with our Bet365 match preview, breaking down Corinne Khachanov and Seb Korda. John, what do you make of these odds? Korda is favored.
Ooh. Man, this is really a pick-em match, isn't it? I mean, you could see any scenario. The range of outcome here is really vast. I mean, Korda's form, probably better. Very comparable in size, these two. Veteran, Khachanov. I think that's about right. But, boy, you guys tell me. This is a really hard one to pick if you're me.
Really, as you said, really similar. I had Korda at a slight favorite also. I just think his versatility coming into flow these last 6-7 months and such a great offseason is going to get him through over the line. So if I am put to the test, if I have to make a pick, I will pick Korda, but it's going to be a dogfight out there.
Yeah, I've got concerns. I want Sebi, but remember how we talked about how he got off to a slow start because he finished so late against Medvedev? That kind of just threw him off a little bit. Of course, he's late afternoon again. I have concerns, though, that playing 5 sets to a 5th-set breaker might have taken just a little too much out of him.
We'll see. What does he need to do to win? What's the
serve? He's got to. And that was the big problem at Wimbledon, right? He's got broken, like, I don't know, 6-7 times in one set. Yeah. He's got to be able to stand the line and hold a serve. Khachanov's a great server. Not easy to break him every time.
Coco Gauff coming back in the house into the quarterfinals in doubles. And we'll be supporting Jessie Pegula as well. We've got those guaranteed lock picks coming up next on TC Live. You hear the music, you know what it means. Favorite segment. What is our stat of the day, John?
All right, we talked about Novak Djokovic saying, my tournament. How about tennis comprehensively saying, you know what, our nerve center is still in Europe and in the United States. Global sport, right? Number two player in the world is from Africa. We have a defending champion who is from Australia. This tournament, though, very sort of narrow. We have four Americans and 12 Europeans, and that's it. Only two continents represented in the singles draws so far. Love this global sport. Not so global right now.
Oh. Give Jerry Shang a couple more years.
What
happened to that new star coming out of Antarctica? I didn't...
That federation's got to get their act together. What's our shot of the day?
Hot shot of the day for Kyle.
All right, so Ben Shelton near court starts off with a little defense. J.J. Wolf pounding away. He's able to turn it around here, start cranking a few forehands. But when he gets the short ball, shows some nice feel. Great get from J.J. This ball is behind Benny. Should really only be able to go up the line. But somehow, with that limber wrist, is able to give it a little hook shot. Goes right back behind J.J. Wolf. And a very, very difficult shot made to look pretty easy. Man, the kid can play.
Scale of 1 to 10, how tough is that lens?
Oh, I couldn't have done it, so.
All right, 11.
No. I actually enjoyed the episode, but I wouldn't know because I could never have done it.
So you're saying if you weren't a lefty.
Yeah.
That's it, exactly.
Quarterfinals start today. Rybakina, Ostapenko, Khachanov, Korda, Pegula, Azarenka, Tsitsipas, Lehechka. Nice slate that we have on Rod Laver Arena. Now that we have reached the quarters, our experts will be making a guaranteed winner pick every single day here on out. Prakash, lead us off.
Where do I start? Well, listen.
Guaranteed in the round of eight.
I already started.
All right, what do you got?
So let's just put that out there.
And Rybakina.
Yeah.
Former French champ and the current Wimbledon champ, Ostapenko has not lost to Rybakina.
Never.
But today is going to be the day, my friend. I think the way Rybakina's serving, the way she's striking from the baseline, I don't think Ostapenko's going to be able to generate the kind of offense she did against Coco. And I'm going with the Wimby champ.
All right. As it is written, you can't beat the number one player in the world and lose to Ostapenko.
Exactly right. Right. Exactly right.
It's a rule.
It's a good one, John.
I don't know. I could go the other way on that one. Lindsay, what's your guarantee?
Well, and I should say, I did get first pick.
Yeah.
Of all the matches, and so I took Tsitsipas.
Yeah.
I like his game. I like where he's at. I like his mindset. I feel like Lehechka could be a little bit overwhelmed for singles match out on Laver in that kind of environment. Taking the veteran, I'm going with Steph.
If there was ever a guarantee today, and Prakash is the one you wanted as well, in my opinion, I don't know. I don't get a pick. It would be Stefano Tsitsipas. John, who you got?
I think you got to go with the highest remaining seed in the women's draw. All credit to Vika Azarenka. I mean, I feel like we haven't talked about her enough. I mean, she won this event back-to-back 10 and 11 years ago. So great to see her in her mid-30s playing at this level. But I think the run stops today against Pegula, who, again, is so dialed in. I think it's great that she's playing doubles on her off days. I think she beat Iga Świątek coming in, then didn't even have to play her to get to the stage. She's really good at playing to her seeding. She's now seeded third. So at a minimum, I mean, I think she wins the title, but at a minimum, she ought to play to her seeding and get to the semis. That would mean winning today.
That would mean her first career major semifinal. Another big step for Jess Pegula. We do want to wish Nick Kyrgios very well. He posted this photo, even though he's not in the Australian Open. He's still number one. Still number one. We blurred it out for you.
Finger injury.
Has surgery complete for Gus?
You know, this is actually, I think, if I know Nick well, this is a tribute to a very famous Tupac picture where he's all bandaged up and he's got a little bit of a blurry hand situation going on in that picture too. But I think it could be a tribute to Pac.
Okay.
Was Tupac helping, checking in and sending the vibes, or is that something special? No, it's nice to see Nick still following this tournament. He's been tweeting about the matches.
That's right.
But, you know, for a guy who was defending doubles champion coming off a Wimbledon final, what a disappointment that he didn't post for this event.
And the doubles as well for Kokkinakis. But he was watching all of Tanasi's matches, staying up late for that. When do you think we see him back on the court?
Listen, I really hope he's able to come back for this hard court swing here in the States. I've said it so many times, for all the grief he gets, for all the fan love he gets, I think he's great for the game. He's so fun to watch, and just want him back soon.
What do you think, Lindsay? Did tournament miss him?
Oh, yeah. I think, I mean, they still did well, and attendance was still broken, but there's certain players that can move the needle, and that's what we were talking about earlier with Ben Shelton, just because he has that quality. Mm-hmm. Nick, in a different way, has the ability to get people to watch tennis that maybe ordinarily wouldn't.
Completely agree with that.
Yep. He's on Netflix.
Quarterfinals. They're all gone. They're all gone. The Netflix curse. I suppose it is real.
Quarterfinals start today. Cannot wait for that action. We will break it all down for you tomorrow on TC Live at 5 o'clock Eastern. The encore coverage with Brett and Paul is 1 hour earlier at 6 a.m. Eastern in the morning. John Wertheim, Lindsay Davenport, Prakash Amitraj, our entire team. I'm Steve Weissman. Thanks for watching TC Live. We'll see you back here tomorrow.